This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The trouble in Asia is the People's Republic of China. Visiting the People's Republic of China these last days is the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, twice elected, extremely popular. And there's a headline in Bloomberg Europe edition right now that suggests that there's what you'd have to say, disagreement among the allies, the European Union and NATO. It reads like this: France's Macron urges Europe strategic autonomy amid U.S.-China tension. I welcome my friend, colleague, and co-host Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang to comment on Mr. Macron's stance while standing next to Xi Jinping, three times elected now, General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. Gordon, a good evening to you. How do you interpret that word autonomy that Mr. Macron recommends for Europe? Good evening.
Good evening, John. This reminds us of De Gaulle pulling France out of NATO's unified command after World War II. And also, I think it's a reflection of the weakness of American foreign policy. You know, President Biden campaigned on reinvigorating America's alliances, especially the one with Europe. But now we see European countries disrespecting the U.S. And I think it's because they see that the United States is not a factor as it once was.
We welcome our colleague Teresa Fallon, director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies. She's traveling. She spends most all of her time in Brussels, a twin capital of EU and of NATO. And in addition to Mr. Macron suggesting autonomy for Europe, he also recommends that if not, then Europe is in danger or in peril or on the road to becoming vassals of the United States. Teresa, a very good day to you. Mr. Macron has always been a colorful figure. At the same time, I mentioned, while he's in China making unusual remarks about the present state of the world, given that there's a war in Europe and it's not going well for the good guys, we're looking at trouble in France that led to the burning of one town hall. I believe it was Bordeaux, not a small city. Protests throughout the land, disruptions in travel, especially the French train, blockading of refineries so there's a shortage of petrol. In other words, big trouble back home. And Mr. Macron is worrying about becoming a vassal of the United States. How do we interpret this? What does Mr. Macron's remark make of the present state of Europe? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. We should recall that the protests in France are due to the French protesting against changing the retirement age from 62 to 64. So this is the type of response Macron is getting. He's a huge superstar in China. He was feted by the public, and he originally went there what I call peace wash. He was supposed to try to convince Xi Jinping to use his influence on Putin to help bring an end to the war in Ukraine. But instead, he signed many deals. Over 36 deals. He brought 53 representatives of French industry there. So if he was really serious about trying to create peace in Ukraine, maybe he wouldn't have brought a plane full of businessmen with him. I would say that he has done massive damage to transatlantic relations. We've already seen U.S. Politicians commenting about this. We must keep in mind that Macron does not speak for Europe. Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission president, was also in attendance. She gave a speech that the Chinese were extremely unhappy with that aligned far more closely with U.S. interests. So Macron, in certain respects, is an outlier on this. But we do need to keep in mind that Macron has had this language about strategic autonomy. It's his pet project. As Gordon mentioned, it's also a part of Gaullist thinking. But Europe is in no position to do anything for themselves. The U.S. would love for Europe to, for the U.S. to shift, burden shift, instead of just constantly burden sharing or carrying most of the load in Europe in regard to their defense. So I would call Macron's trip to China the carnival of vanity. The Chinese are wonderful at complimenting him, making him feel so important. And I think that his comments on the airplane, which were also edited because the Elysee Palace was really unhappy with the language that he used, only the journalists will be able to tell us maybe privately what he said. But he really kind of this language of vassaldom. The Europeans are very sensitive. They don't like to feel that they are followers. Macron does not want to follow U.S. policy, and he sees Europe as a superpower. But in reality, let's face it, it's a group of 27 countries with all very different competing interests. And one of the leaders of Europe said if it wasn't for the United States, they would have failed in their response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So I think there's a paradox here. Many European leaders in Central and Eastern Europe understand that they need U.S. leadership. NATO's getting bigger, not smaller. They're adding two members. So EU member states don't really trust the EU to defend them. Nevertheless, Macron has this fantasy of being the leader of Europe. He thinks of himself as kind of Jupiter. There was a wonderful saying from Simon Cooper from the Financial Times. After Hollande, who didn't seem to have the majesty that French people want in their president, Macron came to power as, you know, kind of like being a king. And Cooper wrote that he is just a jumped up banker dressed in robes. So I think the French themselves love to hate the president, but they also want him to look powerful. But I think that he really miscalculated this time. He has not only injured transatlantic relations, he has injured the unity of the EU on their position on Ukraine, and he has possibly thrown some wedges within NATO. So I think that this has been a huge disaster. And I've seen many comments from European politicians complaining that this trip to Beijing was worse than anyone imagined.
Gordon, you have a question for Teresa about the new king.
Teresa, I remember that the new king, and I might be wrong on this, the new king before Putin invaded Ukraine tried to broker peace. He tried to prevent the invasion. What was Macron's diplomacy at that time? Can you remind me?
I mean, it was Hollande and Merkel who were working on the Minsk agreement. And some analysts have said that Ukraine, the leader of Ukraine, really didn't have much say in the matter. It was kind of they were forced to sign these agreements, which really didn't. It just kind of postponed the eventual reinvasion of the rest of Ukraine by the Russians. So it was kind of a temporary bandage designed to buy some time. But clearly, if Russia is able to maintain territory inside Ukraine, for example, Crimea, as General Ben Hodges has noted, Crimea must be reclaimed. Otherwise, Ukraine will never be safe. Russia will always use it as a launching pad to invade Ukraine. So Donbass, the war in Donbass has been going on since 2014. It's not a new war. This has been going on since 2014. And so Europe has kind of tried to look the other way in some respects. They just want peace and quiet. And with Russia reinvading the rest of Ukraine, I think that it creates a crisis for Central Eastern European countries, because Putin has made it clear that he wants to roll back the post-war agreements. And one of the most motivated countries in the region is Poland, because they feel they're next on the menu for Moscow. So I think that this is a huge crisis for Central and Eastern Europe, and it's hard to get French and German attention on this. So traditionally in the EU, they say the Franco-German engine, and it seems to be malfunctioning. I think maybe Scholz would have gotten in more trouble in Beijing. He also went with a contingent of business representatives, signed economic deals. But he was only allowed to stay a few hours because of COVID regulations, whereas Macron stayed 3 days. So he had many more opportunities to make faux pas. And I think that I like to imagine how Xi and Putin, who had their meeting in Moscow prior to Macron's visit to Beijing, might have swapped information, because Putin had said he was tortured by Macron, who spent many hours speaking to him at the long table in Moscow. And Macron memorably stated after meeting with Putin that Putin had assured him that he would not invade Ukraine. So Macron has been wrong many times. He likes to think he's a big player on the international stage. And I think his visit to Beijing was ill-timed, because we also saw just after he left the exercises around Taiwan. And so the message that he sent that Europe should not care about Taiwan is a very dangerous message, because we see some politicians saying, why is the U.S. supporting Ukraine then, since Europe doesn't want to support other interests in regard to Taiwan? So I think that the thinking by many strategists is that it's a single strategy. So if they give ground on Ukraine, that strengthens Beijing's resolve to attack Taiwan, because they see that the West is not united and that there won't be a pushback or sanctions. So these are united. These are two theaters which are definitely united. Beijing is watching how Europe responds to what Russia is doing in Ukraine. So to say that, for Macron to say we don't really care what happens in Taiwan, that is of no interest to us, really sends a dangerous message. And I think most people in Europe understand that their trade travels through this region, and any sort of conflict there will directly impact their own economies. So it's interconnected, and I think Macron is way out of his league.
Teresa Fallon, director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.